Reading through the history, of our country, and particularly the forming of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's quite fascinating to see how all the work, the effort, the discussion, the debate went into it. And there was a wide range of thought when the Bill of Rights was formed. The Bill of Rights is our first 10 amendments of the Constitution. They guarantee personal freedoms. They limit and reserve powers of the federal government, and also the states in which we live. But as it was formed, there was great debate and great discussion. There are many differences of opinion. Yet finally it was drafted, and it was formed as we know it today. But yet in more than 200 years that have passed, it has continued to be debated and discussed and interpreted. We continue to define what it means to live with these freedoms and live with these understandings of one another and the states and the nation in which we live. How do we define God's message? Jesus brought this message to his hometown in Nazareth. Nazareth is just located west of the Sea of Galilee, where he had done and was doing most of his ministry. And he returns to where he grew up. And there we are told that his teachings astounded those who listened, those who heard. There is reference to the deeds of power that he performed. And they were amazed at the wisdom that he shared. And as a result, we are told, they took offense at him. They took offense at him. Jesus, as we understand it, then was the cause of their displeasure. We understand that he probably wounded feelings, and he offended many by doing what they considered was wrong or inappropriate. And so there is an atmosphere in which we are told Jesus could do no deed of power. Jesus is amazed at their unbelief. He's amazed at their inability to trust the words that he shares. He's amazed at their lack of acceptance. He's amazed at their unwillingness to be guided. Many years ago, in the days of our Old West, the Old Wild West, there was a guide who lived up in the territory of Montana. He became well known of guiding settlers and pioneers throughout the state of Montana. Finally, as he grew older, he decided he would move to more mild climes and move south down around Denver. But he continued to do his work in guiding people throughout Colorado. One trip, some people came from the east. They hired him on, and he began to lead them through the countryside. They began to meander a little bit, and some time went by. And they confronted the man and says, "Aren't you supposed to be a knowledgeable guide of Colorado?" He says, "Well, yes, I am, but I think there might be a problem. We might be in Wyoming now." And so Jesus came to guide, but yet was amazed how he was not accepted, even though people recognized his wisdom and his power. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus' message is consistently that of fulfillment of God's kingdom. He's coming to bring fulfillment. He's coming to take what God has already done, what had already been formed and continued to form it, that had already been shaped and continued to shape it. He builds upon the traditions. He builds upon the previous teachings. And with that brings an awareness to his listeners and his followers of that which is emerging. A new understanding of what it means to be part of God's kingdom. And a deeper understanding. Years ago, there's a story about a man who went to a company by the name of Atari. Now, if you're old enough, you remember Atari. Atari was a company that created some of the earliest of the video games. And this man brought with him an idea, a concept. And Atari turned him down. All he wanted to do was give his concept away, give his idea away, in order to have a job with Atari. They turned him away. He then went to Hewlett-Packard. He was turned away from there as well. The people at Hewlett-Packard apparently told him, well, we have plenty of college graduates, and you're not a college graduate, so you're not needed here. So this man went out on his own and started his own company known as Apple. Steve Jobs. And here was someone who wanted to bring a new understanding and bring it into the business world that was just emerging and being created and yet was turned away. Jesus brings a new understanding of what it means to live in God's emerging kingdom. We talked last week about the prejudice that Jesus faced. We defined prejudice as opinions that are formed without fair examination. Opinions are formed of Jesus without trying to understand or trying to recognize what he brought. Benjamin Franklin, whom we know from our American history, had a lot of things to say that were quite insightful. One of the things that he shared was that any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain. And most fools do. And Jesus faced ongoing opposition, prejudice about all that he had to share. And the writers of our gospel describe the opposition that Jesus faced. Today, we continue to be a part of God's emerging, developing kingdom. One that is still taking shape. One that is still coming into view, which the pieces are being put together. One that is still growing. But like the people of Jesus' day, and like the people of all days since until now, we often have a practice of holding on to those things that we know, holding on to those things that we're comfortable with. But we recognize that the era of today's children is not my era, and that my era is not the era of my parents, and my parents is not of theirs. But so much continues to develop and emerge and take shape. Think for a moment. Many years ago, a keyboard was referenced to a piano. Memory was something we thought of as losing in older age. Interestingly enough, back some years ago, it was said that 640K of memory would be more than anybody could possibly need. Now, I don't know much about computers, but that's about this much compared to so much that your personal laptop computer would carry these days. But that was said by someone by the name of Bill Gates. When we used to talk about cutting, it was something that required scissors. Paste required glue. If you were to do any surfing, it required a great deal of ambition and a board. Or a virus was something that laid you up in bed. Popular Mechanics magazine in 1949 said, some days, in some day in the future, computers will weigh no more than 1.5 tons. But yet we tend to hold on those things that we're comfortable with, realizing how things are developing and emerging all the time, and particularly as we reflect on God's kingdom. There are no previous teachings beyond further examination. Nothing is finite. Our scriptures are there to be looked at and looked at again and looked at once more to truly discover the wealth and the wisdom that is included there, to continually challenge our hearts and our minds. Our scriptures give us a glimpse into understanding what this new kingdom will be like. If we examine the proposal that Jesus makes to those who are sent out, He gives them instructions. But they're more than just practical knowledge of what they're supposed to do, but rather there's a reference to the temple and the practices of entering the temple courtyard. To enter the temple courtyard, one would remove their sandals, one would leave their staff outside and would not bring in a money belt. Upon entering a home, Jesus talks about sharing that same type of respect. As He talks about traveling with sandals and a staff and with no money belt. But a similar respect of the temple courtyard. And that each and every home was distinct. Because there is the merging understanding that God was not just in the temple, but God was in each and every home. And God was present. And those in that home were worthy of being given the message that the disciples were sent to share. The message of the emerging kingdom continues to grow and to be developed. There's a newness to this kingdom that we celebrate. How we are sent to bring hope. How we are sent to provide care. How we are sent to bring help and to bring healing. To be open to all that is taking place in our own day and all the days yet to come. Amen.